KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, it's clear and 30 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high around 50. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Lindeman Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. Topping area news, United States Attorney Mark Crickbaum and Adair County Attorney Melissa Larson Tuesday announced that a federal grand jury has returned an indictment charging Randall Lee Comley with gun and drug crimes, for which Comley faces a maximum sentence of life in prison. The charges stem from the October 2019 incident where Comley allegedly shot at and attempted to kill four law enforcement officers in Stewart. On October 17th, a Stewart police officer and three other Guthrie County deputies attempted to serve an arrest warrant for Comley at his apartment in Stewart. Comley allegedly shot repeatedly at the officers, two of whom were wounded during the exchange of gunfire. The government alleges a search of Comley's apartment revealed a .22 caliber revolver and methamphetamine under the bed in the room where Comley had barricaded himself. As a result of the alleged crimes, Comley is charged with being a felon in possession of a firearm, possessing meth with the intent to distribute, and possessing, brandishing, and discharging a firearm in furtherance of a drug trafficking crime. If convicted, Comley faces at least 25 years in prison, and again a maximum of up to life in prison. Under federal law, there is no parole. U.S. Attorney Mark Crickbaum said Randall Comley is a felon and alleged drug dealer who shot at law enforcement officers who were doing their jobs and protecting our community. We still hold him fully accountable for his crimes. Comley is currently charged in state court with attempted murder. Those charges will be dismissed without prejudice to allow the federal charges to proceed first. Comley has since made his initial appearance in federal court in Des Moines. His trial is set for February 3rd in U.S. District Court. Comley was being detained in federal custody pending his trial. The Atlantic City Council is set to meet this evening at 5:30 in their chambers at City Hall. Among their action items is the second reading of an ordinance that would strip the Parks and Rec Department Board of its authority to hire, fire, discipline, and otherwise manage city employees in the department. It would also essentially take away their authority to handle its budget expenditures. In both instances, those duties would be turned over to City Administrator John Lund. Word of the amended ordinance didn't reach the Parks Board until minutes before their meeting last month, which is something the board was not happy with. They expressed their frustration during the November 20th City Council meeting. Their chief complaint was the lack of communication from Lund and having to read or hear about the proposed changes from the media. The first reading of the amended ordinance was approved during the November 20th Atlantic City Council meeting. In other business, the Atlantic City Council this evening will consider approving an order to approve an engineering work order for additional Bull Creek engineering services. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers would allow the city to proceed with plans for dealing with erosion along the banks of the creek once the studies are complete, but even when the studies are finished, obtaining a permit to assess the amount of work to be done will take time due to a backlog of permits requests. And once the proposed improvements are given the green light, construction would not likely begin until the spring or possibly even the fall of 2021. The council will also act as a matter of formality and by Iowa code to pass a resolution approving the CY 2020 budget for the Atlantic Municipal Utilities. AMU is an entity of the city but is governed by its own oversight board, Atlantic's Utilities Board of Trustees. AMU General Manager and or Comptroller Jennifer Satoff are usually on hand to answer questions the council may have every year with regard to the AMU budget prior to their action on approving it. Also, the Page County Sheriff's Office reports deputies responded Tuesday to a collision on Highway 2 east of P Avenue or about a mile west of Clarinda. Authorities say 54-year-old Jane Mayer of rural Essex was driving a 2007 Ford Taurus westbound on the highway when she slowed for a deer crossing the road. 36-year-old Aaron Childs of Yorktown was driving a Camry westbound on Highway 2 behind the Mayer vehicle when his Camry struck the rear of the Taurus, causing disabling damage to both vehicles but no injuries. Childs was cited into court for having no insurance. He was also arrested for driving while license suspended. His bond was set at slightly more than $566 at the Page County Jail. In our funeral announcements, Catherine Colette Martis Alexander, age 84 of Grimes, died November 29th. A mass of Christian burial for Catherine Alexander will be today at 10 o'clock at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Jean Hossfeldt, age 82 of Messina, died Saturday at CCMH. Funeral services for Jean Hossfeldt will be today at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Messina. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has arrangements. Laverne Martins, age 79, of Atlantic, died Friday at CCMH. Funeral services for Laverne Martins will be tomorrow at 10:30 at St. John's United Church of Christ, south of Lyman. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Vicki Travis, age 67, of Lewis, died Sunday at CCMH. A memorial service for Vicki Travis will be Friday at 11 a.m. at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold. Recon Dune Funeral Home is assisting the family. Enid Nielsen, age 72, of Des Moines, died November 25th. A celebration of life visitation with the family of Enid Nielsen will be Friday at 11:30. It's actually December 13th at 11:30 at the Lutheran Hope of Church, Lutheran Church of Hope in West Des Moines. Also, Christine Eustace, age 69, of Johnston, died Wednesday at the hospice house in Johnston. Funeral services for Christine Eustace will be held Saturday at 11 a.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Dexter. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter has arrangements. Victor Dunan, Jr., age 59, of Brayton, died November 29th. A celebration of life gathering for Victor Dunan, Jr. will be held on December 14th from 2 until 4 p.m. at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Also, Dean Anderson, age 72, of Harlan, died Monday. Private services for Dean Anderson will take place at a later date. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Charity Angel, age 58, of Atlantic, died November 28th. Private family graveside service for Charity Angel will be held at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church, Catholic Cemetery in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Norma Jean Jacobson, age 96, of Harlan, died Monday. Private services for Norma Jacobson will take place at a later date. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. August Gus Gross, age 92, of Fontenelle, died Tuesday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Gus Gross are pending at Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. And Kathy Hartkoff, age 60, a lifelong Atlantic resident, died Monday in Omaha. Funeral services for Kathy Hartkoff are currently pending. The news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Henson reporting.